say amen?
Amen.
Now, before I get started this week, here, some of you are going to say, we're going to need an interpreter for this guy. I pray that my accent doesn't throw everything off, but I can promise you this. I love teenagers. I've been a youth pastor 3 times. I do these camps like this about 3 or 4 a summer, and I am just charged up. I am espresso elated to be here. Amen? Some of you can smile. Amen? Some of you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice. So you need to learn to smile. Amen? You need to have a good time. And so I pray that this week will be something that will that will change your life. Now here's what I know God can do. God can change your life. Can I get an amen? Now, I'm a southern boy, okay? I know you guys from here up north, but it's okay if you say amen. It's like hanging a raw piece of meat in front of a Rottweiler for me, okay? It's like telling a dog sicko, amen. So the harder you say amen, the quicker I'll preach. You shouldn't have done that, wouldn't right? Anyway. But anyway, but that was funny. But listen, guys, it's okay for you to say amen. Do you know what amen means? It means I agree. Let it be so. That's just what we believe. Amen. That God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever imagine or think. And so don't be afraid to worship God. Don't look down the pew or down the row of chairs at somebody and what they're going to think of you. Because when you worship, you're worshiping an audience of one. When you praise God, you're praising an audience of one. When you pray, you're praying to an audience of one. When you're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," you're doing that to an audience of one, not somebody beside of you. And so you just lean back and let it rip. Amen. Just have a good time this week, okay? We're going to start it out with doing an exercise I like to do before we ever get started. I want you to take your right hand and stick it out like that. Now, if you don't participate, I'll make you sing a solo this week.
Amen.
Now, listen. Derek can do it. Put your right hand out like this. Turn it around. Some of y'all ain't doing it now. Take your hand. Turn it around. Put it in the corners of your mouth. Take your left hand. Put it on your right elbow. Push up. That's called revival push-up. Now, listen, some of y'all ain't smiled in 12 years. It's time for you to have a good time and understand who you are in Jesus. And understand you're a child of the King. And because of that, you have eternity as your home. Every promise of God. Listen, your future is as bright as the promises of God are. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "How do you know you're a child of God?" I said, "I was there when I got saved. I was there when it happened. I know I'm born again." Maybe you're here this week, and young people, I want you to look right at me. I didn't drive 18 hours just to entertain you and be a motivational speaker. I came here to see God change your life. But you, listen to me now, if God's going to change your life, you must change your mind. You got to change the way you think, young man. Girls, you got to change the way you think. Some of you in here have had family members, you've had friends at school, you've got a Twitter account, Instagram, and everybody, you want everybody to follow you and like you. And you'll take 58 selfies before you post the one that's the best. Amen? Oh, I'm preaching now. I'm really preaching now. Y'all know how those girls, you know. You never take it down here, do you? Always take it up, makes you look thinner, amen? But by the way, can I tell you this? And I want everybody to listen to me before I even get started, because we're not even looking at one verse of Scripture yet. I'm just talking to you. Young people, you don't know me from Adam's house cat, and I know that. But I pray by the end of this week you'll understand how much I love you, but more supremely, how much God loves you. God loves you. Do you know how many? Some of you counselors, you're married, you've got little kids. I deal on a weekly basis from June to August every year of my life for the last 15 years with young girls that are cutting themselves in their inner thighs and on their arms because of self-harm and because they think that they're not good enough. And I tell you right now, the Bible tells me in Psalm 139, oh, I'm getting ready to preach. Psalm 139, it says, "You are fearfully, awesomely, and wonderfully made. God didn't make trash, He made treasure. You're not garbage, you're garden gold." And ladies and gentlemen, you're here in this room tonight by divine appointment if you're a counselor or a camper. You're here because God wanted you to be here. And so what you've got to do is you've got to listen. Listen to me now. You've got to listen on purpose. I know some of y'all are hooked on Jesus. That's all I need. You know what I've had people ask me? Don't know y'all look at me. I've had people ask me, why do you get so passionate? Why do you preach, and when you preach, a little spittle comes out the side of your mouth? And there's a vein on your forehead and in your throat that sticks out. I had a doctor tell me, he said, Brian, you're going to have to calm down. You're going to have a heart attack in the pulpit. I said, what a way to go. Amen. I just go up preaching. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to get to heaven and Jesus look at me and say, you know what, Brian? You didn't do it the first time the right way. I'm going to send you back and have another chance. We only get one shot at this. And by the way, young people, I'm not blowing smoke at you. I want all of y'all listening to me from here in the back row. I'm going to preach to you about some things that happened in my life. Because I'm not a you should or you shouldn't preacher. I'm not one of thou shalt not and thou shalt. No, I'm a me too preacher. Some of y'all going to go back to school to that same girl that's sitting right behind you in the desk that pushes every button in your... You know what I'm talking about. You can see her right now, can't you? You're going to go back to your home and there's going to be an abusive situation and you're going to have to go encounter that when you leave camp. And let me tell you something, young people. If you're not fortified and grounded in what God has said about you, you're going to fall at every turn. What you've got to do is you've got to realize that God made you the way He made you and gave you the gifts He gave you for such a time as this. Guys, who's going to witness to that lost boy on your basketball or football team or baseball team if you don't? Girls, that cheerleader that's going to go to hell if she takes her last breath tomorrow, who's going to witness to her if you don't? Some of you got brothers and sisters that are in camp right now that you know is lost. This is just the way I preach. I'm an evangelist. See, most pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted. My job is to afflict the comforted. I'm trying to get you uncomfortable. Because most of what Pastor Tim I preach about in camp are things that people are not willing to ask. Some of you under the sound of my voice tonight. See, I came to get right in the car. I came to talk to you, young people, about where you're at. You can put your little church clothes on. You can get yourself frou-frou'd up. You can spread yourself down with Chanel number 5 polo. But I'm going to tell you right now, God knows exactly what's going on in your life. Some of y'all right now hooked on internet pornography. You're hooked on all kind of stuff. Some of y'all are doing stuff before you came to camp that you know that if the God of heaven came back and called you home as a Christian, you'd be ashamed when you looked at Him. And it's time for you to get those things settled because you know what? I don't want to stand before Jesus and Him look at me like I'm a total stranger. Now, young man, you can either do one of two things this week. Young lady, you can do one of two things this week and you can say, preacher, I'll be glad when you're gone. You know what? That's okay. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach Jesus till the heavens, till the stars fall out of the heavens. And young ladies and young men, what you need to understand is God loves you so much. He loved you so much, if you were the only person that ever lived on the face of the earth, He sent His Son to shed His red royal blood on the cross of Calvary that you could have eternal life, and then you're going to say, I'll live my life any way I want to. Last time I checked, the sign above our houses didn't say Burger King. You know what it says at Burger King? You can have it your way. You don't get to have it your way. When you become a born-again believer, if you're in this room and you're saved by the grace of God, you have responsibilities now to serve King Jesus. Amen? And by the way, that ain't why God saved you. That's a byproduct of why God saved you. The reason He saved you is so you'll enjoy His presence and love Him like He loves you. Let this mind be in you. You got it right, guys? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's time for us to grow up, even as a 16-year-old, and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care if they think I'm ugly. I don't care if you think I'm bald-headed. I'm not bald-headed. I'm solidly challenged. Amen. We can relabel anything these days, can't we? We don't have sin anymore, Pastor. We've got syndromes. We don't have a disease. We've got disorders. You know what I know the Bible calls it? If you're here tonight and you've done something that separated you from God, you're a sinner. And by the way, you were born that way. And guys, don't get mad at me. It's probably our fault. It comes from the daddy. It's sin nature comes from the Father, I believe sometimes we got to understand, we got to take responsibility. And listen, this is a week where you can reboot. That's our whole thing this week, is about rebooting. Y'all know, y'all are in a technological society. You know what reboot means. Now, how many of y'all play video games? Come on now, help me out. The rest of y'all are lying. You need to come up here and get right. You know you play. Everybody in here plays a video game. Do y'all remember, and this, I might be dating myself, but see, when I was growing up, y'all don't know nothing about sophisticated technology like we had, like Donkey Kong. Amen. We talk, we talking about Tetris, amen. We talk about the Zelda, y'all. Oh, son, now I'm getting ready to preach. You know what? Sometimes you got so far behind in the game that you could push on your Nintendo box. It said restart. I like that one. I like when you just restart stuff. It gets so far behind. How many of y'all in this room ever felt like you're so far behind, you just like to hit a restart button? Come on now, help me out. Don't lie already. We ain't even started preaching yet. You're lying. You want to have a reboot in your life. Well, you know what? The central theme of David's life. King David was a man who was a man. Y'all listen to me. 14 years of age, God said he was a man after my own heart. Who in the world ever lied to this generation and said young people can't serve God? I'm going to tell you right now, if revival's going to come to the church of Jesus Christ, if God's going to do anything in our churches, it's going to come to the crowd that's sitting under the sound of my voice tonight. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Do you want God to hear your prayer? You know what you got to do? You got to humble yourself and pray. Help me out now. What is that? Humble yourself and. Oh, that was weak. Go again. Humble yourself and.
Pray.
Very good. That's about a B minus. Hopefully we'll get A plus before I'm done. Can I ask you a question, young people? Did you come here? Did you come here to have activities and play, or this was just some kind of obligatory service? This was just something that you put on your calendar every year and you say, I'm going because my church goes? Or did you come this week? Did you come this week for God to change you? Because God can change you. Counselor, I'm not just preaching to campers. Do you know I've had counselors and youth pastors come down an aisle in my camp, get their heart right, and I had to go to them and apologize for some of the things that I maligned them about because I was critical of them. You know what? I'm not one of them guys that's going to tell you, you ought to do this, young people. You ought to do that. No. You know what? I struggle with discouragement too. I struggle with anger too. See, we need me too people. We need some people to say, you know what? Do you struggle when somebody gets behind you and beeping their horn when you're driving to school? Me too. Amen. I struggle with some of that stuff. Because if you're not careful, this world, we don't condescend from heaven and live here on Sunday and go back to heaven on Monday morning. We have to live in the nasty now and now, not the sweet by and by, right? So what we've got to do is we've got to say, God, help me to reboot. David said, I have inclined, guys. I have inclined my heart. That means if it was in an incline, if it had to be inclined, that means it had come and done a decline, right? Isn't it amazing, Pastor, that many, many times in camp, I wish we didn't have to talk about rebooting and inclining our heart. I wish it was just a steady, progressive, just a steady, progressive roll straight up to heaven. But you know what? We struggle, don't we? And like the songwriter said, we're prone to wonder and we feel it. So young people, what do you do? What do you do about rebooting your life? Well, I want you to look at what David said. Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter number 51, I want you to look at verse number 1. I'm going to preach real quick. That means you've got to listen quick, okay? All right? I'm going to preach fast. You've got to listen fast. Psalm 51, look at verse number 1. How many of you got your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
How about waving it in the air like you just do care? Amen. 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 Y'all say, man, he's different. Yeah, I am. I am. I'm different. But it's okay. You know what I believe, young people? We've gotten into a custom of believing that if you're different, it's going to push people away from you. No, the difference is the attraction. John the Baptist was a different dude. Can I get a witness? John the Baptist was out in the wilderness as a voice crying in the wilderness, and he was popping bugs, and he was drinking honey. That's a different dude. That dude was different. But do you know what it said? All Judea and Jerusalem came out to hear him. He didn't go to them. They came to him. You want to know why, young people? It was the difference. The difference is the attraction. How can you reach the Lord? You feel like you got to be one of them. You're welcome. Why do you think you can reach your friends when you feel like you got to be just like them? See, what scares me about you guys is you don't know the potential that's in this room. I have seen it. I have seen it break loose. I have seen breakthrough in camp. It may not happen tonight. I pray it has. I pray it will. But it may happen before we leave this place on Saturday morning. That's what I'm praying. I'm trusting God to speak to you, to help you be the next Elijah that takes up the mantle and says, I'm going to do something for Jesus. That's what we need. Because see, I have buried, are y'all listening to me? I have buried two children. I've got one left. She's married, 28 years of age, in Washington, D.C. now, but I've got two children in heaven. One of them was 17, the other one was stillborn as a little baby. And I'm not here blowing smoke at you. I know what it's like to sit in the hospital room and look at your wife and have to say the baby's gone and look at my wife as they break the sheet over a car. My son is in heaven now. My guitarist, guys, my musician for my church is gone. My boy. At 17 years of age, I can promise you guys, look at me right now. I can guarantee you my son didn't think that was the last day he would ever kiss his mama. By the way, wave your hand in the air, honey. That's my wife back here, Veronica. Y'all say, hey, Veronica.
Hey, Veronica.
She stood at the kitchen sink on a Sunday afternoon and asked her after church. And my son kissed her on the forehead and said, you're my number one woman, and left the house. And 13 minutes later, I was getting a phone call, and he was in glory. It can happen that quick. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know, young people, if you've got a tomorrow, take advantage of this time that you're in. Seize the season. Maximize the moment. Take full advantage of the opportunity God's given you this week. Amen? Because I'm going to preach my guts out to you. I can promise you that. I will not leave here and not expended every ounce of energy I've got. And I'm not one of those hit-and-run preachers. I'm not one of those guys that's going to preach on like tonight, and then you can't find me the rest of the time until next tomorrow night. No, I will be out here playing games. I do not like to lose. I didn't like my kids beat me in checkers. Bless God, I'm not going to let them whoop me. I'm not going to let them, you ain't winning. Amen. I like to win it. Can't stand any people and say,
well, let's just get out in the field and let's do our best.
No, we ain't gonna do it. We're gonna win, amen. I want a coach who looks at me and say, I want you to pulverize them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? See, here's what we gotta understand is I snuck this week and read the back of the book that you were holding called the Bible, and I found out something. We win. We win! When sorrows like sea billows roll, all these problems in our lives sometimes. Can I tell you something, young people? That's what brings the very presence of God to you. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Peace. He didn't say I was the Prince in Peace. Because you know what? You have peace in the midst of the storm because you've got the peace of God in your heart. I know that ain't popular. I don't expect a lot of amens, but you need to hear that. Because some of y'all are going to go back home. And I know what's going to go on in your life. Because I do this every single summer. I have kids come to me and say, preacher, my daddy's been abusive. My mom's a drunk. I don't know if I go back home with this. I'm tired of all the verbal abuse. I'm tired of all this stuff going on, chaos going on in my life. Let me tell you something, young people. You're not alone. You're not alone. Until you get that in your head, you're not alone. You might feel lonely, young lady. Young man, you might feel lonely, but you ain't alone. I know I said ain't. I'm sorry. It is in the dictionary, though, by the way. Y'all know that? Ain't is in the dictionary. By the way, I found out the opposite of ain't is is. That means, you know, present tense, you need to do something this week. So what I want you to look at is I want you to look at King David, who was a man after God's own heart, yet he was a man who committed hot-blooded adultery and cold-blooded murder at the same time. But yet he was still a man that God used. Look at what he said in Psalm 51. I'm going to read a few verses and then we're going to make our prayer. We're going to look at a few things and we're going to go back and have some good times. Okay? Look at it. Psalm 51, look at verse number 1. Psalm 51 and verse number 1. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever what? Before me. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, and my mother conceived me. Behold, thou was out as truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Look at it. I love this part. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He said, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. How many of y'all are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ tonight? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Then he makes this statement, Pastor. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I am so thankful that we don't live in the Old Testament times. We live in the New Testament, guys, you that are pastors. We live in a dispensation where Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the church went out. That's a good outline for you guys if you want to preach it Sunday. Jesus went up, the Spirit came down, the church went out. But yet we have seemed to come to an agreement in churches today that we're going to be like refrigerators instead of incubators. We want to be preserved, and us four and no more, when Jesus says, preach the gospel to every living creature. Red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in His sight. God loves the little children of the world. And if you've got a prejudiced bone in your body, you need to ask God to deliver you from that. Because if a person's trusted Christ, I don't care if they're Native American, if they're Hispanic, or if they're black or white. If they're my, listen, if they trusted Christ, they're my brother because we got the same father. They're my sister because we got the same father. Somebody say amen right there. So what you've got to do, young people, is you've got to say this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, David knew that the Holy Spirit could leave him. But see, we know that the Holy Spirit can't leave us. Because Romans 8:9 says, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Ladies and gentlemen, once you get saved, I had somebody tell me one time, they said, you know what? I believe the Episcopalians have God the Father. The Baptists have God the Son. And the Pentecostals have God the Holy Spirit. I came to announce to you tonight that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father took a vote in 1987. The ballot was passed, and unanimously I was chosen, and I put my faith in Christ. And by the way, I got all three the same day. Woo! I know I'm a little bad because of it, but y'all pray for me, all right? I got all of it. I got the Holy Spirit, young people. You've got the Holy Spirit, but David knew that the Holy Spirit could be taken from him. Then look what he says in verse 12. In verse 12 he says, restore unto me the joy of... Come on now, help me out, class. Restore unto me the joy of...
salvation.
Whose salvation is it? His. It's His salvation. See, that's what the problem is. Look at me, guys. There are some young people I'm talking to on the first night. You've done everything in your power to try to earn favor with God. I had guys, Pastor, I had one of the best young people I ever had in my youth group come to me one night. And he said, Preacher Brian, I want you to pray for me. I said, what's your need? He said, I don't know if I'm really saved. I said, if you're not saved, we got big problems. You're the best kid I got. I said, why do you think you're not saved? He said, I believe I could do something to make God love me more. I looked at him and I said, okay, now this, I just said, hold on, just follow me here. What do you think you could do to make God love you more than He does right now? You know what he started saying, brother? He said, well, I could pray more. We all can do that, amen? My problem with God's people is not that you miss your devotion or miss your prayer time. We all do. Pastor, have you ever missed yours? Amen. I've missed mine. Brother, have you missed yours? So listen, you're in good company because we've all missed. My problem is you don't miss it when you miss it. See, my problem is you don't miss it. Oh, don't let me preach about texting. Some of you got a girlfriend. You can't live 14 seconds without hearing from her. You'll read the list. back in 4 minutes and you won't. Oh, she's going to break up with you. Shut up. In Jesus' name, get over yourself. She's trying to get her brother bathed or something. You know what I'm talking about? It ain't got nothing to do with you. Some of y'all can't live if your significant other. Oh, I'm in love. Oh, I'm in love. It makes me want to throw up. Amen. Y'all think y'all know what love is. I had a little boy come to me and he said, preacher, he said, I said, what you got, son, is puppy love. You know what he said to me? He said, it's good for puppies. Amen. It's good for puppies. So, some of you in this room, you can't live without a Twitter account. You can't live without your Instagram. You can't live without Facebook. Yeah, Snapchat. You know what the Greek word for Snapchat is?
Three quick points.
17. He said the sacrifices, guys, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You don't push away somebody that's humble. Young people, let me tell you something about this story. David was a man who should have been in the battle, but he stayed home in the bed. When he should have been fighting, he stayed home and fooled around. And listen, David looked down on the woman who was bathing, and he said, get her for me because she pleases me well. The men said, that is the wife of Uriah, the wife. Are y'all listening to me? That is the wife, king. That is another man's wife. He said, I don't care. I'm the king. Get her for me. By the way, from here to the back row, I want all of you to look at me. When you start living your life independently of God, you're a thief. Jesus paid for your life. He paid for your sin. And you can't say, I'll do whatever I want to. You know what the Bible says? Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. God will correct you and take you. There'll be bloodshed behind the woodshed if you're not careful. God will take you back there and I'll tell you, put a whooping on you. But he loves you. Young people, look at me. He said, go fetch her for me. They brought her to him. I'm not in a mixed crowd. I'm going to tell you all the details. But I will say this. She got pregnant. You know what David did, guys? David did this. He said, I'm going to try to cover my sin up. Let me tell you something from here to back row. Said, this week, you can try to cover your sin, but it would be easier for you to hide a moving elephant with a postage stamp than to try to hide your sin from God. Oh God, thou hast searched me and known me. You've known my down sitting low rising, even though my thought afar off. Young people, let me tell you something. The Bible says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. Proverbs 28:13. But whoso pastor confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having a good time tonight. I'm preaching pretty hard. I done sweated out of you who I drank before. Y'all already know what you who he is, brother. Anyway. But listen to me, young people. David was a man who had everything at his disposal, just like you, but he made poor choices. And guess what? He said, I want you to bring her husband home. And they said, King, he's fighting on the front of the battle. I don't care, bring him home. He wined and dined Uriah. He got him drunk, sent him to his house. He said, you go and stay with your wife. Supposing that after that, he would think that it's his child. But you know what Uriah did? Uriah said, I cannot do that. I'll sleep in the streets. My men are fighting. Listen, Uriah had more character drunk than David did sober. Some of you don't need to know this right now. Your sin will make you stupid. It'll make you make dumb decisions. But don't you ever listen to the lie of the enemy and tell you that sin ain't fun. It is a blast while it lasts. But you know what the devil will do? The devil will show you the thrill, but he won't show you the kill. So young people, I want you to listen to me. David said, you know what? Maybe this will happen. He said, I'm going to send this letter from me with him to Joab, and I want him to read it. He said, put him on the forefront of the hottest part of the battle. He'll die. Guess what, guys? He did die. And David went, wow, I got that off of me. But you know what the last verse, pastor, of 2 Samuel chapter 11 says? The thing that David did displeased him. Are y'all listening to me? The thing that David did displeased the Lord. Chapter number 12 starts this way. God sent a preacher to David. A man by the name of Nathan looked at him, pastor, and said, David, there was a rich man in the kingdom, there was a poor man in the kingdom. The rich man had flocks and herds, the poor man had one little lamb. When the rich man had come, he went and got the poor man's lamb and slayed him to feed to his company for a feast. And David said, that he got angry. And he said, that man shall receive fourfold of what he's done. You know what Nathan did? I bet with even a tear coming down his eyes, guys, he looked at the king. He looked at King David and said, you're the man. You're the one that's done that. You know what happened next, young people? David went into his prayer closet and he got right with God. He prayed and said, God, forgive me of my iniquity, for I have sinned against you. See, what you think you've done is before others. No, what you've done is before Jesus. Do y'all know that Psalm 51? I believe it's the prayer that David prayed in his closet that night, pastor, when he was called on the carpet for his sin. I want you young people to look at me right now. There's three things you must do this week. And it don't have to all happen tonight, but I'm going to tell you what it needs to start. Number one, if you're going to have the first requirement for a reboot, y'all still with me? Say, yeah. Okay. First of all, what you've got to do is, number one, you've got to be hungry. You've got to be hungry. Do you understand that David did not pray? Listen, he did not give allegiance to his flesh and say, you know what? It's just the way I've been brought up. It was Saul's fault. It was Michael's fault. It's Bathsheba's fault. No. Personal pronouns. He used 10 of them in the first 4 verses and he said, have mercy upon me. Have you ever thought, look at me. Don't look down. Stop talking, guys. Look right at me. Have you ever thought that maybe the problem in your classroom is you? Have you ever thought, guys, that maybe the problem on your ball team is you? Have you ever thought that maybe the problem in your home is you? Instead of pointing fingers, you know what we're good at doing as God's people? We're good at picking up a magnifying glass instead of a mirror. We pick up a magnifying glass and look at everybody else's sins instead of picking up a mirror looking at our own. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What you've got to do tonight is, if you're going to have a reboot, say reboot.
Amen.
If you're going to have a reboot in your life, young people, number one, you must get hungry. David was a man that was hungry, Pastor. Psalm 42, verse 1. He said, as a hart or the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, yea, the living God. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Let me ask you a question, young people. How early this morning did you seek God's face? Don't answer it out loud. Because when you get desperate, you get hungry. And David wanted to be right with his Creator. I wonder how desperate you are. I was in seminary about 28 years ago. No, it wasn't that long ago. But I was in seminary, Pastor, the last semester of our graduating class. Last exam in one of our classes as an elective. The valedictorian and the salutatorian for our graduating class came to the front of the classroom, looked at the professor, and the professor looked at them. They were crying. I had no idea what was going on, but we were getting ready to find out. Those two girls looked at the professor. They all three walked outside the door. We were like, what's going on? Doc never leaves the classroom, especially an exam. He went outside, came back. He's got a tear coming down his face. He said, everybody put your pencils down. I was like, what is going on? Did the rapture take place and we missed it? I mean, what is going on? He looked at us and said, these two young ladies have just come to me and confessed that they've been cheating on every exam this semester. This is the two smartest individuals. But you know what the devil will do? The devil will dangle that carrot right out in front of you. Isn't it amazing we call a fishing lure that? It's a lure. See, that bass, you guys like to fish? Anybody like to fish? Oh, man, I'm preaching at you. See, I like to fish, but I like catching fish better. See, if the fish ain't biting, I go play golf. Amen. But when you fish, you throw the lure in the water and you're reeling it through that. And guess what? That bass thinks he's seen supper. But what he don't know is he's the supper I'm looking for too. And when he takes that lure, I try to jerk his lips off. Amen. Well, I put him to the bank. He gets a concussion, cut his head off, fry him up in hot oil, put some hush puppies and stuff. You say, preacher, that'll kill you. What a way to go. But you know what? That fish would have never bought, he would have never bit that lure if he had seen the frying pan. Did y'all hear me? What you've got to do is, there's some people in here, you know what, you're desperate. Those two girls said, we confess this, and this is what they said to our professor. We would rather be expelled. Did y'all hear me? We would rather be expelled and be right with God than to pass a class and get a diploma, walk across the stage and not be right with God. I want to ask you something. How desperate are you today? How desperate are you to be right with God? You say, preacher, it ain't a big sin. I'm going to tell you what, all sin, all unrighteousness is sin. And what you've got to do is, you've got to get desperate enough to say, God, I want to be right with you as I know how to be, and I'm going to confess it tonight. Because guess what? What you confess, He covers. But whatever you cover, He's going to uncover. What you've got to do is, you've got to get hungry. I wonder how many young people are hungry enough tonight to get right with God. Number two, if you're going to have a reboot, number one requirement, you got to get hungry. Say it. You got to get
hungry.
Number two, you got to get honest. Look back at verse number 6, brother. I want to show you something real quick. Number two, if we're going to have a reboot, Pastor, we're going to get a restart, we're going to have God do something in our life and restore to us the joy of His salvation. His salvation, did y'all hear me? His salvation. What we've got to do is, number one, we've got to get hungry, but number two, we've got to get honest. Look at what he said. Behold, thou desirest truth in thee what? You know what the problem with a lot of young people is? And I've seen this happen year after year. Is there comes a time during camp where you've got to take your mask off. There's going to have to come a time, young lady. Young man, there's going to have to come a time. Don't look down. Look at me. There's going to have to come a time where you take your mask off and stop playing games. And get honest and say, God, you already knew about this. How honest are you with the one who knows everything about you? See, young people, what you've got to do is you've got to get honest. Number one, you've got to get hungry, but number two, you've got to get honest. Can I say this? And I want everybody to look at me. Because I know what it's like to sit there and feel like the ceiling's brass. And God's a million miles away. And by the way, I found this out about God. He ain't never moved. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get a witness? He never moves. But yet, if He don't move, and there's distance between you and Him, who has? We have. You know what does it? Guys, look at me now. What does it is not being honest. Can I say this to everybody in this room? Young lady, God is not going to forgive your excuses. Young man, God is not going to forgive what you don't know. You'll never get over what you don't know. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It's just like that boy. That boy looked at me and said, I can pray more, I can read my Bible more, and I can make God love me more. You know what I looked at him and said? Time out. I said, you know what the problem is? It's not with God. It's with you. You got a wrong view of God. You think you can earn His love. Can I tell you some young people? You can sit in your house for the next 30 years and never do a thing for God as a saved individual. And you know what? God still loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Now you will lose reward at the bema seat, but you're not going to lose your salvation. Amen? I'm trying to keep it simple. Number one, get hungry, but number two, get honest. Let me tell you something, guys. You will never fight what you ain't willing to face. Let me say that again. You'll never fight what you ain't willing to face. I had a boy come to me 2 years ago in camp. He said, preacher, he said, I've got a problem when I look at it on my computer. He said, I'm addicted. He said, Pastor, people come up to me in church and say, how you doing? And he says, fine. And you know what it said it felt like? It felt like, bam! It said it felt like his arm got just nailed to him, to the wall, like he couldn't move. He was paralyzed. He'd have somebody come up to him and say, hey, brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. Wham! And he's like, I'm paralyzed. I can't get off this wall. And it wasn't until somebody came by and said, how you doing? And he said, fine. Wham! And the girl looked at him and said, no, I want to ask you how you really doing. What's really going on? Because I'm your friend. Do y'all know the faithful are the wounds of a friend? I want y'all to look at me. If y'all got somebody in your cabin that you know is not right with God, and you're right as God, but you know how to be, you need to go to them as a friend and say, you know what? I want you to be in heaven with me. I want you to get rewards, and I want to see you crown the way to glory when I get to heaven. I wonder, can we pray about this thing and get it right? Don't shove Jesus down their throat. Love them. Amen? But it ain't going to happen unless you get honest. I wonder what young person in this room, because you know what, you ain't going to fight what you ain't going to face. That young person looked at me, that boy looked at me, and he said, preacher, what can I do? I said, well, number one, what you need to do is you need to have accountability. You need to get honest with somebody else besides Jesus, and you need to say, keep me accountable. I want you to call me, and let's talk every single night, and you ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to be truthful with you. Number two, I told him, I said, you know what, you need to get rid of your phone. Get a flip phone. Don't get a phone that's got social media or internet access. Can I ask you something? How desperate are you to be right with God? I said, get rid of it. Get the computer out of your room. Don't give occasion to sin. Get it out. said, I've got a problem with smoking. Nobody knows about it but you now, my parents, and me. And I want to quit. And she looked at me and she said, what do I do? I gave her some verses of scripture. I said, meditate upon them. Ask God to deliver you from it. He's able to save to the uttermost. Wherefore, he also is seated at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. I said, ask Jesus to deliver you. She came back to me and she said, preacher, I ain't had a cigarette in 5 months. I said, how'd you do it? She said, I got down in my bedroom and I did this. She said, I got down in my bedroom and I got before the Lord and I said, God, I love you. And I know that cigarettes don't send people to hell. But I want to quit so bad that if I take another drag off of the cigarette, I want you to kill me. In Jesus' name. Now, you know what the problem is? If some of you in here don't know anything about that kind of desperation. Because what you do is you enjoy it. And I'm going to tell you right now that pleasure, sin is pleasurable but for a season, young people. You need to get honest about it and say, God, deliver me. Don't look down. Deliver me from my bitterness. Deliver me from my anger. Deliver me from my filthy potty mouth. Because I talk to my friends like a junkyard dog. I use four-letter word, expletives, and I'm tired of talking like that. Huh? You'll never fight what you ain't willing to face. Young people, you got to get, number one, hungry. Say it.
Hungry.
Number two, you got to get honest. But number three, look at verse 17 and I'm done. The third thing you must do is predicated upon how you respond in the first two things. This is all predicated upon obedience. Young people, what you've got to do is you've got to get hungry. Number two, you've got to get honest. But number three, look at me. The third thing you must do, guys, is you must get humble. He said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Now, I want y'all to look at me. The word broken means crushed. It means to burst open. Jesus said in Luke 12, if tempt a corn of wheat, a grain of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth what? Much fruit. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you humbled yourself? Because the fact of the matter is, and I want all of you to listen to me, water does not flow up you. Okay? Water don't flow up you. Water flows where? And just like water flows to the low place, grace always flows to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. Micah 6:8, he has shown the old man what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do with this? Look at it. To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. I wonder when's the last time that you humbled yourself and said, God, help me to get over myself and use me in the life of somebody in my life. Do y'all understand? This is a spoiler alert. Life ain't about you. Can I say it again? Life ain't about you. William Booth, founder of Salvation Army, was not able to come to one of his conferences, and he gave a letter to be read in his absence. When they opened the letter, the reader read it, and he looked at the audience, he looked down, and they were like stunned, and they were like, why don't you read it? And he said, I'm going to read a letter from our founder, William Booth. He said, in this letter contains his name, sincerely yours, but one word on it. He said, I'm going to read it to you. Others! And he sat down. When's the last time you humbled yourself? Because there's going to be some young men in your cabin. Girls, there's going to be some girls in your cabin. Counselors, don't worry about what's going on in church right now. They'll be okay. Amen? You are here for them. You're here for others, young people. You, listen, ask God to use you in somebody's life this week. Because I've asked him to use me in yours. To pour me out like liquid on you. And I do.
I would be nothing. All you would see is the cross. But young people, I must tell you, in closing, whom God uses, He bruises. Whom God uses, He bruises. You close your Bibles, I'm done. Pastor, I used to have a young friend when I was a kid. His name was Kenny. Kenny was red-headed, had a personality to match. I mean, he was a flashy man. He was just outgoing. And Kenny was my friend. And I'll never forget this. He had two sisters. One of them had two children. The other didn't. They weren't married yet. She wasn't married yet. But my friend Kenny would always pal around with me. But we were going to a football game one night. And he didn't answer his phone because I was calling him to go. He did not answer his phone. I said, well, he must be with his mom or dad or something. We drove down the road. We're going down the hill. We get ready to cross a bridge, and it just rained torrential the night before. The water had rose, I guess, 4 or 5 feet out of its banks. It had receded a little bit, but as we drove down there and drove the bottom and we crossed the bridge, my friend Kenny is standing at the bridge like this. And I'm like, what was Kenny doing down at the bridge? Just waving at us, you know? I mean, it's like he knows us. Why's he waving like that for? My dad kind of went, whoop, beat the horn at him. We went right by him. The next thing that happened startled me. A rock about that big, it was about that big, came bouncing in the back tailgate of the truck, went up and cracked the back glass. Kenny just threw a rock at my daddy's truck. My dad hit the brakes. He put it in reverse. He went back there, and Kenny said, Mr. Beaver, he said, my sister, he said, I was coming down the hill on my bicycle. I heard a crash at the bridge. I looked down, and my sister's car's in the water. My dad looked over. There was wood everywhere. I don't know why we didn't see it when we were driving by, but there was wood everywhere. He said, my dad, I got out of the truck. My dad is taking his shirt off. I said, what's going on? My friend's sister had her six-month-old baby holding it. Her car had nosedived into the river, and she was in the back glass and kicked it out and was holding her six-month-old baby out of water, and it was rising. My dad, he was my hero. Amen. My dad was my hero. He ripped his shirt off. He jumped in that water. He saved them, brought them back to the shore. He got back up there. He's like this. And Kenny said, are you okay, sir? He said, yeah, I'm okay, but I got a question to ask you. He said, why'd you throw a rock at my truck? Kenny said, Mommy, you know. He said, why'd you throw a rock at my truck? You know what Kenny said, brother? He said, man, I was trying to wave y'all down. I was trying to get you to stop. My sister needed help. And he said, but you wouldn't stop. He said, the only thing I could find was a rock. And the only way to get your attention was I had to throw a rock at you. I'm talking to somebody tonight, and God's trying to get your attention. I hope and pray. I hope and pray He don't have to throw a rock at you to get your attention. Now, I want you to look at me before we bow our heads. I'm talking to some people in this room tonight. And you don't need a reboot. You need regeneration. You need to be born again. You've never put your faith in Christ. I want to ask you this question right now. If you took your last breath before we left this camp, then you know you'd go to heaven. Because you're going to have to answer that question one day. Not who you marry. Not where you go to school. Not what kind of vocation you have. Not how many children you're going to have. You've got to answer this question, young man. Will I be in heaven? And I can tell you this. You can know me on the shadow of doubt tonight. You don't know why? Because this book says you can know. Now I want you to look at me. God had to throw a rock at me. Can I tell you about it real quick? God had to throw a rock at me, girls. Guys, God had to throw a rock at me when my son was 6 months of age. We were sent in the hospital in Tullahoma, Tennessee, a place we didn't know anyone. My son had an asthma attack at a revival meeting we were part of. I'm watching my son struggle for his life at 6 months of age,
because I'm not going to glorify the devil, and I'm not going to tell you every detail of my life, but I was running from God in some certain areas of my life, and God almost didn't audibly, but it's like he spoke to me that night at 3 a.m. as I'm watching the ventilator on my son and little asthma tent going back and forth. And you know what God said? He said, Brian, am I going to have to take that which you love the most in order for you to surrender your life to me? I hope and pray that none of you have to have something like what we went through 8 years ago happen, and stand over the casket of your own son. I'm glad God gave me 17 years more of life with my son. Amen. Because you know what I did that night, Pastor? I ran the white flag up, and I said, God, I'm done. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely loan. It don't say freely loan, does it? It says all to him I freely what?
Yes.
Come on, help me out. All to him I freely what?
Yes.
There's some of you tonight, look at me. There's some of you tonight that you need to surrender that area of your life where you've not, listen, you've not been hungry. You've been callous. You've been angry. You've been bitter. You have thought it's all about you. You think you're all that and a bag of chips. Amen. It's time for you to get over yourself and lay it at the altar. Get honest. But say, God, help me to get humble before you have to humble me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around tonight.